So let me open in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day, for this church. And may you guide us with all the decisions and challenges ahead. Thank you that you are Lord of this church and the universe. Amen. So what we're going to, the agenda today is we're going to do some like rapid fire reports. We're not going to spend a lot of time on traditional business stuff, but we want to give you a lot of reports because there is a lot happening, including the senior pastor search process. And so we're going to do that. And then we're going to break up in groups and then talk to each other a little bit. We have chairs here so we can spread out and just have a couple times of discussion together and reflection. So let's start. We're going to call Pastor Dell up to share some reports.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Not a very long report. Staff is great. We have a great staff. Aurora, Jung is part-time. Stu is back on staff. You saw that last week. Yes. Woohoo. And we have a new person, Maggie Johnson. You got to meet her last week, too. Also terrific. If you haven't met her face-to-face yet, make sure to do that. She's actually out of town for the next couple of weeks on a planned vacation that was before she even got hired here. So she won't be around for a couple of weeks, but when you get a chance, touch base with her. She's terrific. And then I will let Rachel is actually going to give a more detailed update on Faye, but Faye will be an intern with us this next school year, so I'll give her those details. So anyway, things are going great. We have a good staff, and they're all working hard. We also have a lot of great deacons in our church. They're doing really well and serving hard. So when you get to rub shoulders with a deacon, please give them your thanks and support. One other thing, I just wanted to give another brief, maybe even field a question or two if there are any. The question about masks. So last week in the church announcements, I gave sort of a longer detailed discussion about masks, why we're still doing that. I just wanted to reiterate that. It's not because we're grumpy old church people. The reason we're being more cautious with masks than even the city up to now has been prescribing is because we want to be sensitive to those who are more vulnerable in our own congregation. We also want to maintain a good reputation in our neighborhood. We don't want to be seen as reckless and crazy and unconcerned about our neighbors. So for some really important reasons, we're continuing to have a more cautious stance. And now it's also clear that things with COVID seem to be ramping back up. So if there's any questions about that, I can field those real quickly. Anybody? No? Okay. Well, good. Thanks for being patient about that. Continue to walk in faith about it and to be respectful to your neighbor. Thank you.
It's good to have Dell on board, and he'll be doing a lot of the preaching over the next month as we go back to 1 Peter. So that will be good. Don't see Rachel yet. I think she's attending the kids. So I'm going to call up James real quick and talk about what's happening with our building south there. Just a general report.
Good morning, everyone. So we have the two buildings that we've been working on. The 5239 has been being used for ministry. It had the map people there, as well as Frank. Frank will be moving to the top floor, and then we're still working on making sure that the other two are used for ministry. With 5237, it's still being worked through zoning, and it's still there's the whole they are trying to push for us to have to redesign the whole thing or re-argue the whole thing. So we've been pushing back on that, and Chad Hill has been contributing a lot of his time for that. So if you see him, please thank him for it, and Tim Wilkin for how much time that they've been spending on this. And So again, just continue to keep that in prayer. We are still working through it, and of course, it still has to go through several committees in the city as well. So.
Any questions on that?
Yeah, and again, this is the ongoing thing. I think I have a running bet with the elders, which will end first, COVID or selling the building. And my money's on COVID. No, we're not betting, just if you're worried. But I was going to report, we have kind of some new guidelines as elders. We wanted to report at this meeting the new elder candidates that we'll present in October. I'm not going to do that today because there's a lot of moving parts, but we are committed to get that to you very soon. I've said this before, but raising leaders and discipling during a pandemic has been very hard. And yet God is working, and we have a great elder team. I'm very excited to work with them, and we'll give you names on that very soon. There's Rachel. Are you ready? You need to catch your breath. Catch your breath. I'm going to call up Steve Bishop to talk about the senior pastor search.
Hello, everybody. I might have to call on Emily to help me out a little bit because I'm a little distracted. I was not really thinking about preparing for this. I was preparing the sermon this morning. So, but I thought maybe I would just share where we've been in the process and kind of where we're going. So where we've been, we started this process a little bit differently than the last one. And I know we've sent this out in email communication as well, but just to reiterate, we are working with someone who is kind of serving as more like a recruiter in the process. So his name is Jason Lancaster. He kind of doesn't really have a full formal. Does he have a business name or does he? Anyway. Yeah. So, he's kind of helped us really in the recruiting process to be a little bit more proactive rather than reactive. So the last time when we did the search process, it was kind of all on the search team. We just posted a bunch of posts on a bunch of different sites, then just sort of waited for applicants to post, and then we kind of sifted through them and tried to figure out who might be a good candidate. And that took us quite a while. So. This time we wanted to try to be a little bit more efficient, and so we were able to utilize Jason Lancaster's services, and he's basically been reaching out to schools, reaching out to other kind of networks, and then also posting our job post as well. And so we did that. He actually came and sent us right off the bat 6 candidates that kind of all fit on a very high level, kind of fit the categories that we were looking for. And so of those 6, we ended up seeing, of the 6, we saw 4 that really felt like they were really good, strong candidates. And so we interviewed those 4. After the interviewing of the 4, 2 of the candidates, one for really convictional reasons, just didn't feel like, it wasn't going to work. And then the other one for personal reasons, it was, he just had kind of a rough previous experience in a church, and so we didn't think it was a good option for him to come here. So then we were left with 2 candidates that we've been interviewing, and so we've done second interviews with them. We've interviewed their spouses and done reference checks, and then of those 2 now, one of them has decided to no longer continue in the process, and so now we're at 1, which the elders will be interviewing, kind of to do a final interview on the 11th of August. So that's coming up. Definitely be praying for that, for God's insight. So if that doesn't work out for some reason, then we would kind of go back to the drawing board and try to figure that out. But I don't know that that'll be the case or not. But he's a very good candidate, so very strong in a lot of ways. So I'm very excited about it. I've been thankful to be a part of the process. And so that's kind of where we're going, is that we're going to be, the elders are going to be interviewing him on the 11th. And then we'll all kind of collectively make a decision at that point whether we want him to move forward in the process. And that's it. So,
any questions?
Has the candidate come to visit at all?
No, not yet. But yeah, so I think we'll once the elders affirm and decide that that's what they want to do, then we would probably have a candidating weekend at that point scheduled. Yeah. So the timing, I think we were. I think it kind of moved a little bit faster this time than the last time, for sure. So I don't know that we were necessarily expecting it to move as quickly. And so we find ourselves in a really good spot. Cool. Any other questions? Great.
Thank you, Steve. And you have a great search team. So can you just remind us the names? We obviously have. Yeah. And we did have Don on, and he had to step down for the most part, personal reasons. But so my only caveat to that is that just like the search team, the elders want to be really kind of vet this candidate and any candidates to make sure that this is a good fit for them as well as for us, particularly as we look at moving into the city and all these different dynamics. So we want to, for the sake of that candidate and his family and others, we want to make sure that it's a good fit. So be praying about that. Rachel, I'm going to call on you now.
All right. So pretty much everything I'm going to say is on these two handouts. So I'm not going to go through them in detail, but please take them and read them more at home. I'll just highlight a few things. So let's look at Come to the Well. Natalia announced this morning that we are having a weekend for restoration at the end of August, and we invite all of you to participate. It is a time to come to drink deeply of the living water, enjoy the fellowship of believers in worship and prayer, and to prepare your heart, mind, and soul for what's ahead in the fall. So as we just heard, we may be moving as quickly as, you know, the normal process in hiring our next senior pastor. And so to prepare ourselves for that, which we don't know when it will exactly happen, but it might happen this fall, to prepare ourselves for that, we want to spend time in prayer, spend time connecting with Jesus, processing through what we've all been through, the last year of pandemic living, the last few years of pastoral transition, and have a chance to just pause and breathe and be with Jesus and let him renew and restore us so that we move into the fall energized to join God in his work. So there are different opportunities, ways to get involved. We'll be organizing childcare or kid activities to go along with them. And so we'll share more of that information. If you look at the very bottom of the page, you can see the two links for the elder blog and the website. Please look those up, bookmark them, go back to them. Of course, we'll send stuff out in email as well. If you're not on that email list, please sign up so that you stay in the loop. All right. Next page. I am so excited to welcome officially our new ministry intern. Faye, will you stand up, please? Yay. All right. Thank you, Faye. So he will be serving his internship for his Master's of Divinity program at Moody Theological Seminary. We are going to be his host church. So this handout goes through a lot of details about what he'll do and also how his internship is a little different than what we were familiar with the ministry apprentice program that we were just running. So read all that there. And he'll also be moving into church campus housing, and we're trying to get that going as quickly as possible so that he can be settled while he's doing his study. And how can we pray for Faye? We can pray for wisdom, good communication, and healthy balance for him in his schedule. As you see on the sheet, he'll be balancing quite a few different ministry areas, so we can pray for him with that. We can continue to pray for healing over his health from the traumatic brain injury that he experienced a couple years ago and still has complications from that. We can pray for his classes. He'll be taking Hebrew in addition to his internship, and then also pray for the Lord to lead clearly in his relationship with his girlfriend. So, Faye, if you want to come up, I just want to pray for you real quick during this meeting. Join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for the work that you've done in Faye's life. We praise you that you have brought him into your family, that you have redeemed him, that you've called him to follow you, called him by name, just like you called Zacchaeus by name, and you invite him to serve you. And we praise you that you are leading him along this path to get training and get the Masters of Divinity and work in ministry. And Lord, we pray for this semester and year ahead that you would guide him and give him wisdom, that you would tenderly comfort him when any health challenges arise. And we pray for healing, full and miraculous healing over his body, Lord. We pray that you would be walking with his family, with his mom, and with his girlfriend, Steph. We pray for clear leading in those relationships. And Lord, we are excited to see what you will do in Faye's life and in our church family. And we invite you and ask you to continue a work of transformation in all of us as we surrender our lives to you every day. And we rely on you fully for strength and joy and inspiration. Shine your light on our path. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm. Sylvia.
I have hand up. Don't get it too excited.
So the handout is for the last 3 months of our fiscal year, so I'll wait till they kind of get passed out. But I was going to piggyback on a little bit about the building process and the sale. So we don't have, 5237 on the market, so everyone's aware of that. And we're waiting until we get through the City of Chicago's zoning and all that stuff. So when that is complete, that's when we would put the building on the market. I feel right now that the timing would not work out with the Bank of the West. We have a renewal of our loan in November. So I'm in communication with them, and I don't know what the result is right now. So just to let you know that those are conversations we're having, but most likely I envision we'll just kind of renew again with the Bank of the West, but I don't know what they want at this time yet. They haven't really talked to me about it, the exact steps. So I just wanted to kind of mention that while we passed out my little handout here. So just going to show you, this is the first page is just 3 months worth of our first 3 months of the fiscal year. So we are, the first column is the budget. So I had budgeted to lose some money this first 3 months, being fully staffed and knowing that Jason was leaving and such. So that's kind of what shows there. But we actually did better than what we budgeted. So as you can see, we actually had $8,000 more than what, received $8,000 more than what we spent. So that's a blessing. And so overall, our gain over the budget is $18,000 compared to where I thought we'd be at this time. So that's kind of high level. The second page is just kind of a breakdown of the expenses. And the first column is last year, and that we roughly spent in the first 3 months $133,000. This year we spent $117,000. And then the third column is our budget, where I expected we'd spend roughly what we spent last year. That's where I kind of based the budget off of, and we came in under. And those areas are roughly, the main areas are with staff and the buildings there, as you can see. Building is always a timing thing. I assume we're going to be spending money in the building, but, obviously certain things come up sooner or later. So that's why right now it shows a saving, but I'm not expecting that to be a savings. So that's just kind of high summary of those expenses overall. And then the last page just kind of shows where our cash position is. So we have restricted funds. Again, those are monies that we've earmarked as a congregation. of where we want to spend them. So we've, you know, crisis and compassion, housing, Spring Hill from, you know, prior years, that type of thing. So those are the restricted funds. So we, at the end of June, we had $83,000 set aside for different various things. And then we have our unrestricted funds of $127,000. So that's roughly our savings account that we can draw upon. And it's roughly about not quite three months worth of spending. So like our savings roughly, that $127,000 represents roughly about 3 months worth of spending. So for that. So I just did want a quick update. You have more detail. Oh, I have one more thing. The one other item I just wanted to mention is where our mortgage with the Bank of the West is. We're at, sorry, my glasses I don't have on, but it's $810,000 is roughly what we owe to Bank of the West. So for the note that we have with them. So I don't know if anyone has any specific questions. I know it's very high level. And if anyone wants to get into the nitty gritty, feel free to contact me. Yes, Sue. We are not like getting active requests. I've actually, like, if you guys are aware, people, a lot of people are hesitant to come, you know, obviously like, oh, we'll get by. But if you know people who are in need, feel free to say, hey, I've done this twice already. Like, oh, well, how about our church help you with this certain thing? You know, they had flooding in their, you know, in the spring when there was so much rain, there was flooding. So I just encouraging that type of a thing. Like, we can help cover some rent. We can help, you know, in those one-time things. So definitely feel free to reach out to people if you know if they have a specific need. I know of a friend that's also having some dental issues that come up kind of quickly. And so, you know, those types of things, we have some monies available. I know potentially, obviously the government has been helping out, supports different areas. As that kind of dwindles, I'm praying that this fund would be available to help those as well in need. So. Yes, Emily. So when Pastor Jason came, you know, we gave him a down payment loan to help him put the down payment loan. He paid us back, so that's the majority of it. We had some set aside, like about $5,000. The rest of the $28,000 is from when he sold his house in June. That's my hope. Exactly. Roughly. I don't know. Obviously, we don't know the situation. And I was just thinking about it as we mentioned, if we're moving that fast, if they're going to try to buy a house in this city here, oh my goodness, I don't know what the cost. Right, exactly. But I know it's going to be a roller coaster ride in that regard. So, any other questions? Okay, then. Steve, anything for you that you want me to say?
No. I have a quick question for you. How long have you been the doing this position, treasurer? Yeah.
About 7 or 8 years. Yeah.
Very good. So that's thank you. And I believe it's a lifetime appointment, you said, right? Okay. So we're going to spend the bulk of the time just talking and listening to each other. That's not something we've been able to do for almost 2 years. Some of you, and so we kind of have two questions I want your input on. One is generally, how are you doing? And the other is, where is God prompting you to kind of like serve? As hopefully things open up, it's not looking good, right? We're kind of looking like we're going backwards. So let me just share a couple of thoughts before we start here. As we start this new school year, the church year, fall kickoffs, we have that, and whatever else happens, there is a lot of questions, right? Maybe not quite the same excitement as you normally have this time of year. There's more questions like, what's going to happen now? It's almost an eerie sense of deja vu, like, okay, what's next, right? And then when you add all the things happening in your own life, beyond the pandemic, things normal things and things in the church. It can be a lot. I've sensed in the church, particularly during the pandemic, a sense of cautiousness, or there's still excitement and we're doing ministry, but there's also a bit of weariness and caution. I felt that in my own life. After work, sometimes I just don't seem to have the same energy as before. And I just recently read an article by a guy named Adam Grant, who's in the New York Times, who kind of put to words kind of how I was feeling. I'd really encourage you to read this article if you just Google Adam Grant and languishing. There's an article from the New York Times, but this is a couple excerpts from his article. At first, I didn't recognize the symptoms that we all had in common. Friends mentioned that they were having trouble concentrating. Colleagues reported that even with vaccines on the horizon, they weren't excited about 2021. A family member was staying up late to watch National Treasure again, even though she knows the movie by heart. And myself, instead of bouncing out of bed at 6 a.m., I was lying in bed until 7, playing Words with Friends. I don't even know what that is. It wasn't burnout. We still had energy. It wasn't depression. We didn't feel hopeless. We just felt somewhat joyless and aimless. It turns out there's a name for that: languishing. Languishing is a sense of stagnation and emptiness. It feels as if you're muddling through your days, looking at your life through a foggy windshield, and it might be the dominant emotion of 2021. As scientists and physicians work to treat and cure the physical symptoms of long-haul COVID, many people are struggling with the emotional long-haul of the pandemic. It hit some of us unprepared as the intense fear and grief of last year faded. In psychology, we think about mental health on a spectrum from depression to flourishing. Flourishing is the peak of well-being. You have a strong sense of meaning, mastery, and mattering to others. Depression is the valley of ill-being. You feel despondent, drained, and worthless. But languishing is that neglected middle child of mental health. It's the void between depression and flourishing, the absence of well-being. You don't have symptoms of mental illness, but you're not the picture of mental health either. You're not functioning at full capacity. Languishing dulls your motivation, disrupts your ability to focus, and triples the odds that you'll cut back on work. It appears to be more common than major depression. And in some ways, it may be a bigger risk factor for mental illness. Part of the danger is that when you're languishing, you might not notice the dulling of delight or the dwindling of drive. You don't catch yourself slipping slowly into solitude. You're indifferent to your indifference. When you can't see your own suffering, you don't seek help or even do much to help yourself. Even if you're not languishing, you probably know people who are. Understanding it better can help you help them. That really was helpful to me to kind of identify. Maybe you're not all in that place. But one of the things psychologists often say, one of the best ways to counteract this condition or others is to name your emotions. And that's what we want to do today. Now, this is just a snippet of hopefully what we do in Restoration Weekend, but I want to give you a little taste of that now, because I think we all have, you know, the idea of lament is something we all need to do. And let me now also tell you what a huge part of the solution is besides naming emotions. Let me read Jesus' words from Matthew 11. I shared this on July 4th. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the word rest here that Jesus uses is a Greek word, anapausis. I probably butchered that. It would be more accurately translated as relief. Jesus says, whatever our burdens or challenges, connect with me, learn how to do life with me. I'll direct you where you need to go, and I'll be with you always, even until the end of days. Why would you accept any substitute for the blessed yoke I'll provide you? I've come to give you eternal life and abundant hope, a life connected to me is full of challenge, yes, but also great joy, comfort, and hope. So the question I asked on the 4th, I'll ask you today, is over the last few years, where have you found your rest and relief? So let's go into this discussion time, and different elders are going to facilitate the discussion. And the question, again, we're asking is, what have been the one or two biggest challenges for you over the past 4 years, whether inside or outside the church? And what has God been teaching you?